would like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the 89th Psalm. Psalm 89, would like to read two of those verses to you. Psalm 89, verses 15 and 16. Psalm 89, verses 15 and 16. Before we begin to read and study from God's Word, I appreciate all the audible as well as the silent prayers that have already gone before God's throne of grace, but I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in another moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. Lord, we're thankful that we know that you're not only the God of heaven and earth, but we're thankful we know you're our Heavenly Father, that we're your children. We're thankful that Thou hast redeemed us by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And as we've just sung, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, we pray that you would help us to realize that though we've heard it over and over, it's a story that never grows old. That it causes our heart to rejoice as we think about the Son of God leaving the portals of heaven, coming down into this world and living an absolutely perfect life. We're thankful that we know and understand that He was born of a virgin, that He was without sin when He was born. He lived an absolutely perfect life, and then He died on the cross of Calvary to save us from our sins. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, and thank you, Jesus, for coming down into this world. We're thankful that we know that heaven is real, and one day we're going to be with Thee forever in that home eternal in the heavens. We pray that you would bless those who have lost loved ones today and during this week, that you would comfort their hearts in knowing that in the very moment that we die, that the Spirit departs and returns to God that gave it. We're thankful to know that the dear saints of God that have gone home this week, that they're already with you. We ask you to comfort the families that have lost loved ones, that you would give them a special measure of thy grace, give them the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We do beg thy blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted. There are so many who stand in great need of thy help. And we know that you're the great comforter, that you can help and bless, that you can bless the work and labor of the doctors. And we ask you to bless those who are receiving treatment for cancer. Bless the doctors, guide them and direct them in every decision that they make. Pray that you would bless the medication and all that they do, that it would be for the good of those that are sick. And Lord, all the other different sicknesses and all the other problems and all the troubles that different ones have, we ask you, Lord, to be with them and help them. But we also ask you to help us to know what we can do to help each other. That you would help us to remember and understand and believe that we can make a difference in other people's lives by the grace of God. So guide and direct us. Give us wisdom and understanding and knowledge and discretion. Give us the strength and grace we need every day. Help us, Lord, to be the salt of the earth and to be the light of the world. Bless us now as we try to study thy holy word. We ask that thy Spirit would be our teacher, that thou would guide and direct us into that portion of thy word, that thou would have us to hear and understand. Bless us now. Fill us with your Spirit. Teach us and instruct us, we pray, in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 89, I would like to read verses 15 and 16. Psalm 89, verses 15 and 16. The Word of God says, Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. I want us to think about the rejoicing that the people of God ought to be doing. There are two statements that are made here that show that the people of God ought to be rejoicing. First of all, he says in verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. We're going to be looking primarily at that. But then he says in the 16th verse, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day. Brethren, the people of God that are not rejoicing, they don't know what God's Word has to say. If we're thinking about the things God tells us to think about, we will be rejoicing. And the main thing that we're looking at tonight is in the 15th verse when he says, Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. I want us to think about the joyful sound. And I want us to think about the fact that God says those that know the joyful sound, that they are a blessed people. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Now, when we think about sounds, there are a lot of different sounds, a lot of natural sounds that we like to hear. Now, some people like to hear some sounds, and some people like to hear other kinds of sounds. Tell me some sounds that you know people like to hear. What are some sounds that, generally speaking, people like to hear? Name any sound that we like to hear. Just in the natural realm, first. All right, a baby laughing, bird singing, music, singing. What about train whistles? Thank you. That was the point I wanted to get to. I remember when I first came here as pastor that these trains would go by down the road here and it would just annoy me, the sound of those trains. And I would watch Brother David and some of the other railroad men, and they would just kind of smile like, that's the number 4937. And they'd talk about it after church. And, did you hear number 2382 going by? And they would just rejoice in the sound of the same sound that made me angry. It was a sound that made them glad. And Brother David told me one time, it's what put money in his pocket, and so it ought to make us glad, you know? There are different sounds. Brother Terry Smith's a cattle man. And Brother Andy's a cattle man and a bird man and every kind of person, animal just about that you can think of. But they like to hear cows mooing. That's a sound that everybody doesn't like to hear. But what I'm trying to get across, first of all, is that there are natural sounds that make some people rejoice. I think there are some sounds that almost everybody rejoices in. But then there are some sounds that make some people rejoice. But those same sounds are very annoying to other people. Now, I want us to think about the second part that we mentioned, that there are some sounds that some people like to hear, and there are some sounds that are very annoying to other people. And the same sounds that the psalmist is talking about here when he says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. The joyful sound he's talking about is a spiritual sound. It's the sound of God's people and the sound of the voice of God. It's the sound that only a born-again child of God has any appreciation for. For example, you take the singing of the saints of God. Do you rejoice in hearing the saints of God sing praises to God? Well, that's something that ought to make our hearts rejoice. It ought to just lift up our soul. I don't know of anything, as we were sitting around last Thursday night talking at the close of the week of worship and recreation, several men were sitting outside one of the dorms, and we were talking about different things that we enjoyed the most. And did you know that one of the things that I enjoyed the most was the singing when the people of God would lift up their voices and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You don't even have to hit every note correctly to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, what does the text say here? Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. The saints of God that can join together and lift up their voices and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, those saints of God rejoice in that sound. And the Word of God says here, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. So, first of all, it's a blessing to hear the sound, but it's also a blessing to know that it's a joyful sound. And we need to praise God and thank God for the singing of songs. I don't know of anything that lifts up my spirits any more than to hear, you know, I can go down the road and listen to a radio and listen to the singing of the saints of God. It makes my heart rejoice. Come into the house of God and hear the people singing praises to God. That's a joyful sound. And God's Word says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Now, I can remember a time that I was far away from God when I was probably about 25 years old. And I want you to know that all the sounds that I'm talking about right now, the joyful sound of singing of the saints of God, the joyful sound of the preaching of God's holy word, all of those sounds, they were not joyful to me at all, but rather they were absurd and ridiculous, and I had no joy in the joyful sound. I did not know the joyful sound. Have you ever been there? Has there ever been a time in your life that you did not appreciate the sound of singing? And you may say, no, I've never been in a condition I didn't appreciate the sound of singing. Singing wasn't so repulsive to me at that time when I was far away from God as the preaching of God's Word was. Did you know some people are glad when they say, let's go into the house of the Lord? There are some people that are glad. There are some people that are happy. There are some people that rejoice. David said in the 122nd Psalm, he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why do you think David was glad? Well, first of all, he was glad to hear the people. We're talking about a joyful sound. David had been away from God. David had been alienated from God because of sin in his life. Do you think it was a joyful sound when somebody finally came to David and said, David, God touched my heart, and it's time for you to come back to the house of God. Do you think that made David happy when somebody came to him and said, let's go back to the house of the Lord? Do you think that made David happy? Well, he said he did. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He was glad. He was rejoicing that finally he could go back to the house of God. Now, was there a time he didn't rejoice during that time of sin and ungodliness? He could not find any joy. He did not know the joyful sound. He could not hear the joyful sound. You remember what Jesus says some 27 times in the New Testament. Jesus says, he that hath an ear. Have you ever had an ear to hear? Have you ever been where you just couldn't hear the joyful sound? Have you ever had a time in your life, a season in your life, where you just couldn't find any joy in the house of God? You could go to the house of God, the people of God could sing, it brought no joy, you couldn't hear the joyful sound. The man of God could try to preach God's Word, but you couldn't hear the joyful sound. Listen, the Word of God tells us in Colossians 1:18 that the preaching of the cross is, and you fill in this blank, the preaching of the cross is blank to them that perish. The preaching of the cross is what? The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. But to those who are saved, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Is the preaching of the cross, is it foolishness to you, or is it the power of God? Well, listen, the only difference is whether or not you're in fellowship with God and know God, whether or not you know the joyful sound of the preaching of the Word of God. We ought to be able to feel what David did when he said, I was glad. He was full of joy when they said. He was glad just because they came to him and said, let's go to the house of the Lord. But he was glad to go into the house of the Lord and hear the joyful sound in the house of God. Somebody, one night during this week, after the worship service that night, somebody said, I could have sat there all night long listening to the preaching of the Word of God. You know why? Do you know why there are times that we can sit and just hear? Seems like we just want to sit there all night long. It's because we're in the Spirit. And when we're in the Spirit, we rejoice. We can hear the joyful sound. And the preaching of the gospel, when we're in the Spirit, is a joyful sound. And the singing of the songs of the saints of God, when we're in the Spirit, it's a joyful sound. But when you're not in the Spirit, it's foolishness to you. I want you to go with me to, we're talking about blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. That know the joyful sound. Go with me back to the book of Acts just a moment. Go with me to Acts chapter 8. You know, Philip, while Philip was preaching, and as well as all the other preachers, there were times that the people rejoiced in their preaching, and there were times that the people despised their preaching. I want you to notice now in Acts chapter 8, there are two different occasions in Acts chapter 8 where the Word of God talks about Philip preaching. And while he is preaching, on both occasions, the response of the people is that when they heard him preaching, the Word of God says that they rejoiced. Now, they were a blessed people. How do you know that? Well, because the Word of God says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. In Acts chapter 8, starting, let me just read verse 5 to begin with. Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. The Word of God says, then Philip, went down to the city of Samaria and preached. What did he preach? He preached Christ unto them. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Did you know that anything you preach out of the Word of God, you're preaching Christ and Him crucified? You can preach about practical godly living, following Jesus Christ, and you're preaching Christ. You can preach about redemption, and you're preaching Christ. You can preach the doctrines of election and predestination, and you're preaching Christ. You can preach about the creation of this world, and you're preaching Christ. Anything you preach from the Word of God is preaching Christ Jesus. Why? Because Jesus says, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of Me. Now, the only place you can find any preaching and teaching about Christ, of course, is the New Testament. Is that correct? No, no. Listen, brethren, again, you can go back to Genesis 1 or any other book and chapter in the Bible, and you will, if you're blessed by God, you will hear Jesus Christ being taught. In Acts chapter 8, verse 5, the Word of God says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now, while he was preaching Christ, what does Colossians 1 say? What was it to some of the people? It was foolishness unto them. And to those that were lost, it was foolishness to them. But to those who are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. So he says, the Word of God says in verse 6, after it says that Philip preached Christ unto them, verse 6 says, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Did they rejoice in what they heard according to the Scripture here? Come down to verse 8. Verse 8 says, and there was great joy in that city. Why? Because they heard the joyful sound. Were the people of God in Samaria that rejoiced in what Philip had to say? Were the people of God that heard the joyful sound while Philip was preaching? Now, were there other places that Philip went to where they despised his preaching? Were there places that Jesus went to where the people rejoiced? They heard the joyful sound. Were there other places that the same man, Jesus Christ, went to and preached the Word of God, preached the same message, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? There are some people that when they heard those words, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, there are some people that rejoiced. They rejoiced, first of all, that somebody cared enough to come to them and tell them to repent. And they also rejoiced to know that the kingdom of heaven was what? What had all the Old Testament prophets been declaring? When the Messiah came, the kingdom was going to be established. Were they happy when they heard the kingdom of heaven is at hand? They were rejoicing greatly because the kingdom of heaven was finally coming. They were glad. They rejoiced. In the same book of Acts, after he went to Samaria and preached to those people in the city of Samaria, then God sent Philip way out there into the wilderness to preach to one man that was out there, that was in the wilderness, and he was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading from Isaiah chapter 53, and while he was reading, God sent Philip directly to the eunuch and asked him, understandest thou what thou readest? You remember what the eunuch said? How can I except some man guide me? He wanted to know, is Isaiah preaching and talking about himself in Isaiah 53, or is he talking about someone else? And the Word of God says that Philip began at the same Scripture and preached. What did he preach? He preached Jesus Christ unto him. He preached Jesus unto him. And by the way, guess what the response was of the eunuch? He was baptized, but when he heard that preaching, he went on his way rejoicing. Why? Blessed is the man. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. You go home and read Isaiah chapter 53, and you might not see anything but sorrow in that chapter. You read Isaiah chapter 53, and you read about a man that was beaten and stricken, a man that was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth, a man that was spit upon, a man that was nailed to the cross. How in the world could anybody rejoice in Isaiah chapter 53? It's only when you begin to read and understand that all is talking about what was necessary in order for God's people to be saved from their sins. That's what makes Isaiah 53 beautiful. Not the sufferings of Jesus, but the result of those sufferings. And that's what Philip preached to the eunuch about, was not just the man suffering in Isaiah 53, but it was about Jesus Christ saving His people from their sins. And that made the eunuch rejoice, and it ought to make every one of us rejoice. Go with me back in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. Please turn back in your Bibles. I want you to look at God's Word here in Isaiah chapter 40. What is the main scripture that we're looking at? What does it say? It says, Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. I want you to think right now about one particular joyful sound. And that's the sound of redemption. The sound that Christ Jesus came into the world to save His people from their sins. The fact that Jesus Christ, when He came into this world and died on the cross of Calvary, He didn't try to save anybody. He didn't offer to save anybody. But the Word of God says that His name would be called Jesus, for He would save His people from their sins. Did you know there's a big difference in a Jesus that's trying to save and wants to save versus the Jesus of the Bible that accomplished what He came to do? When He hung on the cross of Calvary and He said, "It is finished," He had accomplished what He came to do. All the suffering, all that He went through, it was for one ultimate purpose, and that was for Him to live a victorious life, to defeat the devil, and hang on the cross of Calvary and shed His blood to save His people from their sins. And when He saw the souls of His people redeemed, the Word of God says He was satisfied. He was satisfied. Oh, the groanings and the pain and the crying of Christ, they were not pleasant to listen to at all. And hearing and reading about all those sufferings, they're not pleasant to listen to. The reading of God's Word from Matthew 26 of all the sufferings that Jesus went through. But I'll tell you, if you'll just keep listening, you'll understand the purpose of the Word of God telling us about all those things. It's so that we can hear the joyful sound that Jesus saved. Jesus saved. In Isaiah chapter 40, listen to what God says to His people. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, "Comfort ye." Do you like to hear words of comfort? Does it make your heart rejoice? Is it a joyful sound to hear words of comfort? God says, "Comfort ye." You know who, by the way, let me pause here. I've had some people that were living in ungodliness that I would have to repeatedly go to and talk to about their ungodliness. And they would say to me, "Why don't you just speak some words of comfort to me? All you ever do is try to correct me of things I'm doing wrong." Let me tell you, brethren, you read God's Word and you won't find from Genesis through Revelation where God ever comforted His people when they were walking in open rebellion to His Word. Did you know that? God never comforts His people when they're walking in open rebellion to His Word. Who does God comfort? God comforts His people who are mourning because of sin in their lives. God comforts His people who stand in great need of feeling the Comforter. But as long as the people are high-minded and haughty and exalted and in open rebellion to the Word of God, God will not comfort them. The Word of God says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Now listen, in Isaiah chapter 40, God says, "Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people." Why did they need comforting? Because they felt the weight of sin. They felt they were sinners. They felt that they were going to die and go to hell because no matter how hard they tried to keep the law, was there any of them, was there a single one of them that ever kept the law? Was there anybody? The Word of God says, "By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight." Did you know I can try as hard as I want to, and as hard as I try, I cannot be justified by my works before God eternally. And that's a very frustrating experience that it's good for God's people to come to. You know why? Because the law is a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. The harder I try to keep the law, the more I find I just can't do it. I can't do it. You know what I love to hear about? I love to hear the good news. Jesus paid it all. Amen. Jesus paid it all. Amen. Jesus saved. Isaiah chapter 40, God says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Is there a warfare that is already settled? Is there a warfare that is already won? It's a warfare that Jesus Christ fought the battle. Her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. I'll tell you, the Word of God says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. I don't know of any more joyful sound in all the Word of God than to hear about, I've been saved from my sins. I have received of the Lord's hand double for all my sins and all my iniquities. That's good sound to me. Tell me about redemption. Tell me the story of Jesus. That's the first song we sang. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story so precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Do you like to hear about Jesus? Could you sit and hear about Jesus all night long? Listen, as long as you're in the Spirit, you know what you'll do? You'll rejoice in any preaching about Jesus. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Very quickly, go to Matthew chapter 25. I want to hear about redemption, but I also want to hear something else. Did you know there are some children, listen carefully, I'm going to be reading from Matthew 25, but before I read this, I want you to know that there are some children that I think their number one desire is to please their parents. And some children, I think their number one goal is irritate and annoy and rebel against their parents. I mean, have you ever seen a child that they just, it seemed like their number one goal was just to please mom and daddy? Have y'all ever seen a child like that? Just want to do whatever will please my mom and daddy. Do any of you have a child that's like that, that just really, really, really wants to please mom and daddy? Now listen, there are some children of God that are like that. Their number one goal, I just want to please my Heavenly Father. There are some children that they'll go way out of their way and do everything they can, and they won't do anything wrong to the best of their ability, just so they can please their mom and daddy. Did you know that ought to be the feeling of every one of us, that I want to please my Heavenly Father? And the amazing thing is that God has given us the ability by His grace to please our Heavenly Father. There's some of the children at camp that they just would do everything in the world just to please the teachers and everybody at camp. They wanted to please people. Listen, one of the most beautiful sounds that a child of God will ever hear, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. One of the most beautiful sounds the people of God will ever hear is when God says to one of His little children, well done, well done. You did a good job. Commending them. And some people say, oh, God will never say that. Oh, yeah, I'm talking about in this world, God does say that to some of His people. The Word of God says that, and listen now, don't turn there, I just want to mention this. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, the Word of God tells us about a man whose name was Enoch, and that man walked with God, and the Scripture says, before he died, he had this testimony that he pleased the Lord. Oh, wasn't that a good feeling? To hear God say, I'm well satisfied with what you've done. Well pleased. You've done a good job. You know, I can say to all of you that worked at camp and all the preparations you did for camp last week, I can say, you did a good job, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I didn't see anybody that could have put forth any more effort than you did in preparation for and during the week of worship and recreation. I think everybody worked just as hard as they could. And I can tell you, I am so thankful for the work that you all did. But I'll tell you, what's more important than what you feel from my mouth is when you feel the Father, well done, well done. When the Spirit of God comes to you and speaks to your heart. Now, I've never heard God speak out loud, but I've had God speak to my heart and say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He doesn't say it often because I'm not faithful often enough, but sometimes He comes to me and He says, well done. And that's a beautiful sound. Did you know it? It means more to me than anything in the world. It's for the Father, my Heavenly Father, to say, well done. Matthew chapter 25, the Word of God is talking about God coming to His people and telling them, well done. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 19, the Word of God says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. By the way, before I read the next verse, I want to ask you a question. What is this parable about? Is this parable about eternal heaven, or is this parable about the kingdom of heaven? Which one is it about? The kingdom of heaven. You back up to Matthew 25:14, it says, for the kingdom of heaven. You back up to verse 1, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven. All the time that you find works and obedience required to enter a heaven, it's not eternal heaven, it's the kingdom of heaven. Whose works get us into the eternal heaven? That's the works of God, the works of Jesus. And what do our works enable us to enter into? The kingdom of heaven while we live here on this earth. And so this is all about the kingdom of heaven and God's delivered it unto every one of you. Do you have talents? Do you have gifts? Do you have blessings? Do you have things God has given to you? He says, now I'm coming and I'm going to reckon with you. Did you know Jesus comes and judges us according to our works while we live here in this world? And when He comes, you may hear Him say what He did in verse 21. His Lord said unto him, this is the one that had had 5 talents and he gained 5 talents more. His Lord said, well done. Well, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the what? The joy of thy Lord. What is the kingdom of heaven? It's righteousness and peace and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. When do you enter this kingdom of heaven? It's when you take what God's given you and you use it to the best of your ability. And then what do you hear God say to your heart? Well done, well done. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound of having God speak to your heart and say, well done. Let me tell you one more thing. The last joyful sound you're ever going to hear in this world. The last joyful sound you're ever going to hear. What do you think it's going to be? Melissa? All right. The trumpet of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the archangel. You go on and read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Word of God says, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout. Is that going to be a pleasant sound to some people? The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound when Jesus finally comes back to this world. Brethren, I pray that God will help us to realize we are a blessed people to know the joyful sound. Is my prayer for Christ's sake.